I think we are innately suspicious of this kind of rapid cognition. We live in a world that assumes that the quality of a decision is directly related to the time and effort that went into making it. When doctors are faced with a difficult diagnosis, they order more tests. And when we are uncertain about what we hear, we ask for a second opinion. And what do we tell our children? Haste makes waste. Look before you leap. Stop and think. Don't judge a book by its cover. We believe that we are always better off gathering as much information as possible and spending as much time as possible in deliberation. We really only trust conscious decision-making. But there are moments, particularly in times of stress, when haste does not make waste, when our snap judgments and first impressions can offer a much better means of making sense of the world. The first task of Blink is to convince you of a simple fact. Decisions made very quickly can be every bit as good as decisions made cautiously and deliberately. Blink is not just a celebration of the power of the glance, however. I'm also interested in those moments when our instincts betray us. Why, for instance, if the Geddes Kouros was so obviously fake, or at least problematic, did the museum buy it in the first place? Why didn't the experts at the Getty also have a feeling of intuitive repulsion during the 14 months they were studying the piece? That's the great puzzle of what happened at the Getty, and the answer is that those feelings, for one reason or another, were thwarted. That is partly because the scientific data seems so compelling. Stanley Margolis was so convinced by his own analysis that he published a long account of his method in Scientific American. But mostly it's because the Getty desperately wanted the statue to be real. It was a young museum, eager to build a world-class collection, and the Kouros was such an extraordinary find that its experts were blinded to their instincts. The art historian George Ortiz was once asked by Ernst Longlotz, one of the world's foremost experts on archaic sculpture, whether he wanted to purchase a bronze statuette. Ortiz went to see the piece and was taken aback. It was, to his mind, clearly a fake, full of contradictory and slipshod elements. So why was Longlotz, who knew as much as anyone in the world about Greek statues, fooled? Ortiz's explanation is that Longlotz had bought the sculpture as a very young man, before he acquired much of his formidable expertise. I suppose, Ortiz said, that Longlotz fell in love with this piece. When you're a young man, you do fall in love with your first purchase, and perhaps this was his first love. Notwithstanding his unbelievable knowledge, he was obviously unable to question his first assessment. That is not a fanciful explanation. It gets at something fundamental about the way we think. Our unconscious is a powerful force, but it's fallible. It's not the case that our internal computer always shines through, instantly decoding the truth of a situation. It can be thrown off, distracted, and disabled. Our instinctive reactions often have to compete with all kinds of other interests and emotions and sentiments. So, when should we trust our instincts, and when should we be wary of them? Answering that question is the second task of Blink. When our powers of rapid cognition go awry, they go awry for a very specific and consistent set of reasons, and those reasons can be identified and understood. It is possible to learn when to listen to that powerful onboard computer and when to be wary of it. The third and most important task of this audiobook is to convince you that our snap judgments and first impressions can be educated and controlled. I know that's hard to believe. Harrison and Hoving and the other art experts who looked at the Getty Kouros had powerful and sophisticated reactions to the statue, but didn't they bubble up unbidden from their unconscious? Can that kind of mysterious reaction be controlled? The truth is that it can. Just as we can teach ourselves to think logically and deliberately, we can also teach ourselves to make better snap judgments. In Blink, you'll meet doctors and generals and coaches and furniture designers and musicians and actors and car salesmen and countless others, all of whom are very good at what they do and all of whom owe their success, at least in part, to the steps they have taken to shape and manage and educate their unconscious reactions. The power of knowing in that first 2 seconds is not a gift given magically to a fortunate few. It is an ability that we can all cultivate for ourselves.